Okay, I've got Commissioner Lindstrom. I just checked. People should be able to join without going to the lobby. There's just so many people. We've got about 20, 25.
Wow, we're popular. Okay, that might be a record. All right.
I'm just starting the recorder, so you can start whenever you're ready.
Okay. And we were going to start with public comment, Nathan. Are you able to manage that with this many people on the line?
I don't know. We'll have to see. It depends a little bit on whether people are able to figure out how to unmute themselves. Let's see.
How to unmute themselves? Okay.
Microsoft Teams.
Is there a hand-raising thing that you can do in this?
I think they're called on a phone line, so we can't see them.
Right.
I wonder if it would be, do they need to, maybe, how did we do this before, Nathan? Did you email, did you have people email you when they wanted to speak, or what happened?
Well, I had people email me, but we didn't announce public comment for this meeting, so we can't do that this time. The reason why I can't unmute everyone is because when people think they're muted, they start talking to each other. And so it can be like a real privacy thing, like just unmuting them all at once. There is a button that they can push to unmute themselves. But call the meeting to order, and I'll try to figure that out, and we'll see if we can get it to work out whenever you're ready.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. Please bear with us. We will call this special meeting to order of the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1 Board of Commissioners. It is Tuesday, the 5th of May, 2020. It is 6:06 p.m. This special meeting is held remotely due to the Governor's Proclamation 2020 issued on March 24th and extended through May 4th by Proclamation 2028.1 and restricts public meetings to remote access if it's, blah, blah. So here we are. So we really appreciate members of the public that have called in, and please bear with us. So welcome to our special meeting. Today is Tuesday, the 5th, as I said, and Nathan, let's start the roll call if you're ready.
Sure. Let's see, Commissioner Clary.
Present.
Commissioner Lehman.
Present.
Commissioner Lindstrom.
Present.
Commissioner Loring.
Here.
Commissioner Lachine-Seitz.
Here.
And then we also have, Superintendent Hutchins. Are you present?
Present.
And then Interim Chief Kutsing. Are you present?
I am here.
All right, we're good to go. Thank you.
Thank you. And we will take a moment here to allow for public comment.
Excuse me one moment, Commissioner. I'd be remiss if I didn't point out that, last time we checked with the MSRC that we can call for public comment at a special meeting. The fact that it wasn't posted on the agenda, I think we may have done a disservice, because some people who may have felt that they wanted to comment did not, that they would have the opportunity to do so. So I just feel like I need to point that out. But I understand that we are allowed to do that.
Yes, thank you. And that was an oversight on our part. We, we're not required to have public comment at a special meeting, but I believe that the board values hearing from the public, and so I wanted to open it up at that time. I do apologize for that.
Let's see. Okay. Sorry.
You're doing great, and it's a difficult task you have.
I guess you have to unmute everybody, Nathan. That's the only way to do it.
I can't.
Right? You have everybody muted.
I can't unmute everybody. I can only mute them. People are allowed to unmute themselves. I can kick them if they're somehow disruptive, but it's like a privacy thing. People could be having a private conversation, thinking they're muted, then you just unmute
them. Okay, so unmute yourself if you'd like to comment.
Uh-huh.
And we'll go for free-for-all, mostly control. Control free-for-all?
Yes.
Let's see, I'm going to try muting everyone again, and it should send a message to people telling them how to unmute. So commissioners
will need... just wants to listen.
Commissioners will need to mute them, to unmute themselves. Commissioner Lindstrom, you'll have to unmute yourself. I just muted everybody. When you mute people, it should send out an instruction on how to unmute yourselves if you're calling in. If you're on Microsoft Teams, just click the microphone and unmute yourself. Perhaps we could do audience participation later in the meeting before you have any voting items or something.
Perhaps we can have a moment to work that out. Is that okay with everyone? All right. So we've done roll call, and we wanted to discuss the interlocal agreement between EMS and fire. Just to clarify, we have consolidated a decision on the ILA into our resolution. So, you know, but if anybody has anything they wanted to say on that particular topic at this time, I open up the floor.
This is Commissioner Lehman, and I have read the resolution and agree with it as it stands and have no amendments that I'd want to make to it. It covers all the bases that I would want to see covered.
Okay, thank you.
This is Commissioner Clary, and I agree also in that I agree with the resolution and the rationale behind it. My rationale behind it is that the current pandemic has really changed the whole atmosphere of the whole focus of what we as a hospital district need to be doing. I think in the short term, like right now, we need to be addressing and being prepared and actually very, very ready to deal with something that could break loose. We've been fortunate that it hasn't here on the islands, but that's We can't be guaranteed of that. And I think that the ILA, the agreement that was signed previously, is a distraction from proper and efficient work. And certainly within EMS, there's been, I think the personnel have felt that distraction. And I think we need to remove it. There were things that I think most of us didn't really like about the agreement, and we were just working around it. Both the fire chief and the EMS chief have been working together, really kind of outside of that agreement. And the agreement, for instance, contains a provision for $30,000 to fire. And in this financial climate, I absolutely would not want to spend $30,000, and I think that needs to go away. So I think that's the whole pandemic, the whole everything about the what's happening now on the island has changed our focus, and I think the interim agreement is just not pertinent and needs to go away to allow us to focus.
Thank you. Commissioner Lachine Seitz? Any comment from you?
Sure, yeah, I agree that the resolution puts into words a lot of concerns that that I've been thinking about and that I have been hearing about lately, so I'm really glad that you were able to put that together, and I agree that it just is a good time to focus more on procedures and policies related to COVID and what's going on, and tighten those up and get our house in order and come back to the idea of integration after we've done that and after we've gotten a little more clarity on what's happening with this crisis and how long it'll go on and what's where we're headed.
Thank you. Commissioner Loring?
Thank you, Chair Lindstrom. I too support the resolution. I think we've seen some indication out in the community recently that maybe the integration is moving forward and skipping over some very critical steps, including information that we've been asking for as a board, or at least that I certainly have, for months at this point. And so to the extent that the EMS and fire department are coordinating responses, that's one thing, but my understanding is that it's leaping a little bit beyond that and actually trying to affect some level of integration without having a shared understanding in place for that. And that worries me quite a bit. And so I think that we need to make sure we can reach that shared understanding before the staff for each agency do move forward. And given the absence of answers to me, pretty basic questions like, how is this process unfolding? What are the tasks and who's in charge of them and what time frame? Like, that's a pretty simple question, and we have not been able to get answers to questions just like that. Or what will the budget look like before and after? Will there be cost savings? What might those look like? Let's try to at least get a feel for that, as well as organizational charts, who answers to whom, and before and after. And so I do have a developing concern that this has been moving forward beyond just a basic coordinated response model, which I think makes some sense to have those conversations about who responds when, or how the entities are both responding to the same instances. So for those reasons, I support the resolution at this point to say, okay, let's set that aside until we can reach that agreement and have a clean, tidy entity where all the staff know where they stand on both sides.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, I'm in agreement with all of you. I mean, I feel gratitude to our partner board at the fire, department, for waiting on signing the ILA, and I'm very appreciative of that. I really appreciate all the work that has been done to develop integration of the work of citizens and the CAG and our staff and the two chiefs. But right now I just am feeling really strongly that our responsibility as the board is to ensure that EMS is functioning at its highest level. And someone said timing is everything, and unfortunately COVID-19 has changed our timeline. We still have a lot of questions that haven't been answered to allow us to move forward in this process. And I think that we need to step back and focus on our agency. I also wanted to take a minute to recognize our staff during this time and just mention that they are making a sacrifice every day they go to work. They're risking their health and the health of their families. And we don't really know when this is going to end, and we are really grateful. I am very grateful to have such dedicated staff and volunteers who provide care at a time like this. So thank you. And also, I wanted to just say, just to apologize to our staff, and because I think our board and myself, I was really hesitant to rescind the ILA publicly initially, even though I knew it was something that we didn't want, because we thought annexation was on the table. And we didn't want core optics, because we were invested in the success of town annexing into the fire levy and those steps that it was going to take towards working towards integration. So I just wanted to mention those things. So as it seems that we jumped from discussion of the ILA and to the resolution, is there any further discussion on the resolution? There are quite a few whereases, and I just want to make sure everybody is comfortable with the text.
Commissioner, if I may, this is Carl. I just do want to point out that I don't necessarily feel comfortable with the resolution. There are a couple of things that are in there that are operational kinds of things, and I understand if you feel like the board needs to move into operations, then the board needs to move into operations. The fact that if we approach this unilaterally, there's no guarantee that the fire department, District 3, would step back from it. More than likely, they would continue to move forward, and by us saying we won't participate, we've kind of lost a voice. That concerns me. The other piece that shows up is in the four parts of the resolution itself, that number four is asking the superintendent to execute any sort of exemptions to resolution part three. I'm not sure that the superintendent is the right choice there. That seems to me to be the chief's role. It's got to do with the incident command system. None of the commissioners nor the superintendent have studied the incident command system and know what's involved with that. So I do want to express my reservations in terms of how it's worded, what it's actually trying to do, and I'm hoping that it's not counterproductive to our end goal. And I just wanted to make those note. Thank you.
Thank you. So do we have any further discussion?
I just want to say, I have studied the incident command system and I'm certified in it, but I'm not the superintendent, but...
Apologies, Commissioner, I didn't realize that, and I'm glad that you are. That's great. Thank you. I apologize.
It was a special thing to study that big book. You probably know what that book looks like.
Absolutely.
Chair Lindstrom, if I might ask, Chief Kutzi, can you mention that you thought a couple of the items in that resolution strayed into the realm of operations? Would you mind identifying those? I think that'd be helpful.
Well, one of the things is that I know that the board feels like COVID, it becomes a priority. Just to let you know that we're working with our medical program director. Guidelines, procedures are in place. We've been dealing with the COVID situation effectively on an operational level. So I think that isn't something that needs to be addressed. Number three in the resolution starts to deal with how to manage a scene, saying that if we're going to respond as multiple apparatus, whether it's an engine, somebody with fire on their roster versus our roster, the walls, the silos that we've been busy trying to break and create a unified command type structure, we're putting the walls back up. You're basically saying that there's going to be a joint command, that EMS is going to be in charge of EMS, and fire is going to be in charge of fire, and that just creates a situation in the command structure dealing with a complex scene that causes more complexity than is necessary, instead of having a single incident commander. Those are the operational pieces that I feel we basically got that covered, and we're still following the goals set out by the commission to provide quality care and service to the community. We're doing it within our financial constraints. We're following the governance and the long-term policies as set forth by the board. So in my mind, there are operational issues. I hope that explains it a little bit better. I'd be happy to continue that discussion.
This is Commissioner Lorien. That was before. I forgot to identify myself. Apologies. So, no, thank you, Chief Kutzing. I think that it's helpful. It sounds like you're suggesting it's helpful to have a little more flexibility in having EMS staff use fire department materials and direct fire department people to do certain things and vice versa. From what I'm hearing, is there a very clear directive chart or something that explains exactly who has control at which times and which staff member listens to which agency at different times?
It varies from incident to incident. We have officers both with EMS, and we have chief officers in EMS and in fire, both of them. Not that chief officer, meaning Chief Collins, Assistant Chief Monin, those are the two chief officers over at Fire District 3, myself for San Juan Island EMS. We don't necessarily respond on every incident, we have volunteer lieutenants here in EMS. There are career personnel and volunteer lieutenants also at fire. They also have captains there, so there's a definite chain of command in that sort of thing. The thing that I know that sometimes gets confusing is command of an incident isn't necessarily the same thing as the patient care aspect of it. Obviously, on complex scenes and very, very sick patients, our ALS providers the paramedics end up being in charge of the patient. They do what's right for them. They order the right for interventions. They take care of, they ask for the resources necessary to handle that patient care. That is then bumped up to the person who's going to have command of the incident. They're the ones who are responsible for staging vehicles, what gets parked where, what apparatus does what. If, for example, in a car accident, it's important to make sure that there's fire suppression there so that the car doesn't burst into flames while we're trying to extricate a patient. If a patient is entrapped, we need to coordinate the rescue efforts and using the heavy equipment to do that, all the while caring for that patient. So patient care is different than incident scene management. And whoever establishes that command on a scene basically controls how those resources are allocated and tries to fulfill the request of the, if there's a patient involved, it's a medical call, the request of the providers, the person who's in charge of patient care. So it's always been a challenge with EMS. Most of our scenes are single patients with a single piece of apparatus on it. And the whole command structure seems kind of, it's difficult to wrap your head around because we're obviously all focused on the patient. There's only one piece of apparatus to deal with generally. Whereas it gets more complicated are obviously on the more complicated scenes that involve extrication or a rope rescue or a marine call. And people understand once incident command has been established, that's who they defer to. If they're given assignments, they know who they're responsible to talk to. If they're assigned with the ambulance crew, they know that they deal through that and bump it up, and information flows correctly.
So, Carl, I have a question. Do we have that incident command structure? Have we seen your diagram of that? And is this just COVID related? You're saying the FOC right now has an incident commander related to COVID issues? Is that what you're talking about? Or on every call, there's an incident command structure?
On every call, there's an incident command structure. We also have it in place. You have two different kinds of command structures. One being for administrative kind of tasks, you know, how does training get disseminated? dealing with policies and procedures. On an incident, it's very incident-specific. When the tones go out, that command is set up, and that's variable and moving, but it's established on scene. It may be an EMTB who takes command of the incident. It may be a lieutenant who takes command of the incident. It may be the chief who takes command of the incident. So it's fluid and it's dynamic and it depends on the scene. So there are a couple of different ways that we approach that.
I think the spirit or the intention behind this particular statement was that we were very concerned that policies, procedures, staffing models were being dictated by administration from an outside agency and without authorization. So we, and I understand exactly what you're saying, Chief Kutzing, because we've discussed before the way, the first responder on the scene takes command of the scene, and I understand what you're saying, and I realize that the wording of this is restrictive. So how then do you suggest that we rephrase this in a way that then is clear and gives clear directives about our expectations, so there's no question about what we're asking for?
That's hard to do on the fly. I can't do that right now during the time constraints of the meeting. Obviously this came. We were notified of the meeting maybe 32 hours ago. So just saw this resolution came across the desk. I want to say about 4 in the afternoon, so I haven't had a whole lot of time to look at it, and I would be happy to take a stab at rewriting some of this or making some suggestions or edits, but I definitely need some more time to do that. I can't do that tonight.
Okay. Well, my suggestion would be that we edit it down and just suggest that no outside agency shall be involved in the administration and management of EMS and staff resources, I suppose. Nathan, do you want to chime in on the wording here?
Yeah, we can do whatever you like. I'm just putting up on the shared screen, if you all can see it. Let's see. So what you want to start over with what you were saying, Commissioner Lindstrom? You said you wanted no outside agency shall I guess
be involved in administration. EMS.
Okay.
Thank you.
And should we remove these two clauses here?
I just do also, this is Carl, I do also want to say that as far as administration having an outside agency telling us what to do involved in the administration, that hasn't been the case, nor would I let that be the case. Obviously, when this position, I took the position that I was told that we were working actively toward integration, that we were working together to try to bring the two agencies together. It's been a collaborative effort. There are times when Chief Collins and I are in communication all the time, and there have been instances where, for the sake of clarity, a communication has been developed jointly. Chief Collins has put it out. There are other times where that same kind of communication has been developed jointly, and I've put it out. So I do not want you or any of the commissioners to feel like somebody else is running or managing EMS. That's simply not the case.
This is good. I mean, this is Commissioner Lehman. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think that's important. I appreciate hearing that from you very much, Carl, because I think there is a perception that all communication is not coming from you. So I think that needs to be absolutely clear that it is always coming from you for your staff. And that there's never any question it's coming from you.
Well, I understand that, and maybe that has not been clear, but I'm confused as to basically why you as commissioners are hearing this from the staff. These are operational issues, and it really severely undermines the ability to manage the organization if I'm not aware of them and I don't know where the concerns are coming from. It's important that I'm made aware of it and that I then am able to address those concerns. If concerns and staff members are coming directly to commissioners, it's inappropriate from the staff, and it's also kind of on the commissioners to redirect them and say, this is an operational issue that needs to be brought through the chain of command, and the chief needs to be aware of it. It's really not our place to even be having the discussion. So I think that's important for us to be able to effectively create a good and dynamic, manageable scene through EMS. If staff members feel like they can circumvent the chain of command and they'll go right to the commissioners, we cannot effectively run this organization.
Carl, I'd just like to speak and say no staff member have come directly to me. So what I think what is essential is that your staff clearly believe at all times that all information, all administration is confidently coming from you, because I've had a perception just in some of the communication that's come out that, you know, coming from Chief Collins and not from Chief Quisley.
Understood, and we'll rectify that. Chief Collins and I have had that conversation, and we'll make sure that the information that goes to goes to EMS comes from me. What goes to the fire department comes from him. Again, I think, and part of our initial thought of this is that fully half of the volunteer EMTs would then hear that information twice, and we were trying to alleviate that because we have cross-trained people.
This is
Kutzing. We're not put you on the defensive, and I just wanted to say that, you know, several meetings ago, your board unanimously directed that we wanted to see integration proceedings put on hold during the pandemic, so focus could be on the agency. And it was clear from my conversations with you that even though that was a unanimous request, that because we didn't put it in the form of a resolution, that it was not received. So that's why we're here today. We are offering some clear leadership and direction for EMS at this time, and we don't necessarily need to go into these operational and procedural details right now if you don't wish to. And Gail, did you have something to say?
Yeah, I, Commissioner and Machine Spice, I haven't introduced myself once tonight. yes, I just wanted to say that in most cases, any issue that came up from staff would be directed back to you and would be dealt with by you, I'm feeling like. But because we've sort of created this mess as well, because we've left this ILA hanging out half, you know, it's not been worked on, it hasn't been finalized, and it's been hanging out. So in some ways, it's our responsibility as much as anybody else that that there's confusion on any ground. So I don't think there's anything that's been done wrong. I just think that integration has moved forward, and we didn't realize it would keep, that momentum would keep going, and that it would become confusing without some of the procedural steps that we really wanted in place. So it's really not saying, oh, somebody's done something wrong and taking the wrong steps. It's just that, oh, whoa, back up. Time to slow down and get the procedural pieces that we want in place before this happens. So I hope, and nobody feels like they have done something wrong. It's just that it seems like this is a good time to roll back and get the things needed that we need done.
Understood.
Hey, this is Commissioner Lehman. I just, Carl, needed clarification. You had mentioned that also, and I just wanted to be clear about this, that did I understand that you stated that FHIR would continue with the process? I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah, it's my belief that that working toward a fully integrated system dealing with all hazards, whether they're medical, fire, rescue, any of those things, without FHIR District 3 saying, yeah, we're going to put the whole process on hold, there's nothing limiting them to doing that. And in fact, I think they would probably continue to blaze forward. And my concern is that we effectively lose a voice, that we don't have an opportunity to participate, and they may continue to move down a pathway.
So what you're saying is that our fire department would then, our fire district, would be creating their own EMS, and that's your concern?
No, not that they'd be creating their own EMS. They would be moving toward a fully integrated process, because I think the goal is to, I mean, we have staff that that we want to be utilizing. I mean, we have trained staff on both sides. The terminology is both sides of the runway. That they would continue to come up with this integrated model. I can't speak for the district. I would just prefer being participatory in it rather than having a whole plan laid out and then having to get back up to speed and not having input as it was being developed.
But to be clear, I mean, as we stated in number two, the governing bodies of both of these organizations are the decision-making bodies in this process. So, I mean, I believe that ideally, integration is the right thing for our community. I don't believe that it is the right time right now. I think it's too disruptive to an agency that is already dealing with a very high stress situation. And I believe that there will be a time when both governing bodies will agree to resume discussions. And I hope that that will be the case.
Absolutely. I was just, my concern, and I, like I said, I don't want to lose traction. That's kind of where I'm coming from. And, we've made a lot of progress and been working pretty hard. And it's hard not to feel vested in that. And I understand exactly where you're coming from, that you as the governing body feel like it's important to step back. It's just that at this point in time, my advice is that it's unilateral, and to expect it to be bilateral, we can't necessarily expect that.
Yeah, I mean, there are things that have held us up here, and one of them is that, we're in this state of emergency with a pandemic. The annexation is, we don't know when and if that'll be on the ballot for the voters, and there were key pieces of data, financial forecasts, and comprehensive management plans that we were waiting to see, and we just don't have any of that accessible at this time. So, I think that we're asking for a redirection for this period of time, and we're laying that out very clearly in this resolution. And we're going to get our house in order. Does anyone else, do any other commissioners have any comments on, further comments on the resolution? further discussion?
So I move that we accept the resolution with the amendments.
Okay.
This is Commissioner Lehman, and I second that.
Thank you. I'm going to call for a vote, and so I will call your name.
Just a quick discussion. I'm trying to see, is that fifth bullet, or at least what I'm seeing on that shared screen, that was also crossed out throughout, is that right?
Yeah, because it was related to the fourth one.
Yes. No, I think that makes sense. I just wanted to make sure I understood what had happened. I couldn't quite tell if it was fully crossed out or not. Thank you.
Thank you, Nathan, for that real-time edit. Commissioner Clary. Everett, are you with us?
Sorry, I had to unclick the mute button. Hi.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Lehman.
Aye.
Commissioner Lindstrom votes in favor. Commissioner Lischien-Seitz.
Aye.
Commissioner Loring.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Nathan?
Yes.
How are you feeling about public comment at this time?
Well, I think I do know how to allow people to unmute themselves. There are a lot of people on this call, so I expect that we can anticipate some stuttering starts and stops as people try to determine if, can I talk yet? So let me give the instructions to unmute yourself. Is you need to press *6 if you're calling in. And if you press *6, then just state your name and that you would like to speak. And I would suggest, if the board sees it acceptable, would be that we encourage people to we'll wait and let everyone who wants to speak say, I would like to speak, and state their name, and then we can go through them systematically. So kind of everyone say at first, do I want to speak? Once we have a list of people who want to speak, then we'll go through them one by one. Does that seem reasonable?
I'm unfortunately having kind of a hard time understanding you, but I think what you're saying is that the people that have called in can press *6 and they will be unmuted, and then they can say that they would like to speak, and we'll try to manage it that way.
Yes.
Did anyone respond?
No, we've got no responses. That either means that no one wants to say anything or the solution doesn't work. I'm sure we will hear about it later, one way or another. But I don't have any other...
Available to you via email, which you can find linked on our website. And anyway, moving forward, I am going to adjourn this public portion of our meeting, and we're going to move to executive session under RCW 4230.110. And it's to evaluate the qualifications of an applicant for public employment or review the performance of a public employee. So we will return to adjourn, but there will be no action taken today. I thank everyone that called in, and I thank...
We need to start and an end time,
I'll
Commissioner.
I'll see you shortly. Thank you, Chief Kutzing. Thank you, Superintendent Higgins. And thank you, Nate Butler.
Commissioner, we need a start and an end time.
Oh, I'm sorry. correct. We do. Okay, what time is it now? It's 6:49. Well, let's just assume that we can all regroup in about 5 minutes. Hopefully we can all log in within that, or we'll say 6:55, and we'll give ourselves a half an hour. I'll let you know if we're going to go longer than that. So we'll say 7:25.
Thank you.
Is that fine?
Uh-huh, yeah, and I will make, if you text me or call me with any extensions, I will announce it in this meeting. This meeting will continue, this Teams meeting. People are welcome to call back at the time that Commissioner Lindstrom stated, or you can remain as suits you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and I'm going to try to get on the other meeting and accept everybody, so give me a little bit of time and I'll get there.